Gabs FM, power to engage your world. This is the second hour of Breakfast in High Definition, hosted by Dollar Mac, Sito Teboslo, and Rorisa Mokhojwe. This morning, we're getting into our NB Fira conversation this morning, Sito, right?
Yes, we're getting into a conversation with NB Fira. NB Fira is the non-bank... non-bank financial...
We're going to be talking about
a number of things. We're going to talk about NB Fira's mandate, but also who they regulate and why they regulate. So that it's important for you as a Motswana to use them as the regulator. They're there to make sure that your money is protected by financial institutions that are non-bank. They are the non-bank financial institutions regulatory authority. And on the line, we have the director of capital markets. We've had her on the show before, Mejuliana White, so that she can walk us through all of these.
Yes.
But first, let me welcome you in.
Thank you very much, Seto. Good morning. Like you say, my name is Juliana White. Yes. And, I'm happy to be here to talk to the listeners of GAPS FM about NB Fira and some of the products that we authorize or we supervise, including the promoters.
All right.
And offer them into the market.
All right. But NB Fira was set up by an act of parliament, actually. You started off being a state-owned enterprise, and you are now limited. But please briefly introduce yourself as NB Fira and what your mandate was. Why did parliament find it fit to set you guys up?
Thank you very much, Seto. Very briefly, my name is Juliana White. I am responsible for the supervision of the capital markets industry, including virtual assets. Now, NB Fira was established as a regulatory authority for financial services by the main act being the NB Fira Act. But under the NB Fira Act, we also have many legislation that are industry-specific. Such as the Insurance Services Act, the Retirement Funds Act, and so on and so forth. So I think what I'm trying to say is that NB Fira is not only responsible for capital markets, also responsible for the supervision of the insurance sector or services sector, micro-lending and other lending activities, retirement funds, as well as money laundering.
And virtual assets.
And virtual assets.
your scope is...
And virtual assets, yes.
Your scope is very, very big. But there has been an act that was approved or that was enacted by Parliament in 2021, the Collective Investment Undertaking. Let's talk about that particular act and its purpose.
Yes, we've actually had the Collective Investments Undertakings Act since the 90s. So, and it got reviewed.
And repealed, yes.
And repealed to enact the current act of 2022, that was passed in 2022. So the act focuses on collective investments. Otherwise known as unit trusts or investment funds. So these are vehicles into which investors put their money to become shareholders in for purposes of investments so that they can get returns. So they are called pooled investments and they are invested collectively. So they are offered by management companies which are licensed by NB Fira. So once they have been issued, they are sold. So some of them are open-ended and some of them are closed-ended. Some of these funds are open-ended, some of them are closed-ended. We will talk about that later. But effectively what it means is that once a fund has been established, we authorize it as NBFIRA. Okay, mm-hmm. We will look at the fund to see if it fits in with the regulatory framework.
Uh-huh.
And now, whether it discloses all the information that it's supposed to disclose.
All right. By being a regulator, protection of the investor is key to your mandate. Let's talk about investors. Who are the retail investors?
The retail investors typically are the individual investors, like you and I. So these investors can be distinguished from corporate or institutional investors. Such as the corporates like mining companies, banks, pension funds. Those would typically be classified as either institutional investors or corporates. So retail investors basically are just individual persons, you know, that are participating in the investment within the investing market or the financial market. Now, retail investors usually have limited amount of knowledge as regards investments, and that's why they are encouraged to seek professional investment advice before they can embark in investing on products that are offered in the capital market. Yes.
Okay. Now, what are you know? You talked about the limited knowledge that retail investors have. Prospective retail investors, what should they know before signing an investment agreement? Specifically, because they are trying to put money to grow, and sometimes people end up losing money in these agreements.
You know what, there are a lot of people out there now with the advent of products being offered online and so on and so forth. There are people out there, many people that are proclaiming to be offering investment products. So what we encourage prospective investors to do is that, first of all, before they commit their money into any investment, they must seek written documents. They must seek a written document explaining the investment. That's number one key. It's very important. Because once they have that written document, they can go to the professionals and say, can you read this for me? Explain to me what this means, if they themselves cannot understand what that document or what that product is.
All right.
They should try and read and understand the document themselves. They should verify the legitimacy of the investment. They should find out the cost and benefit associated with the investment. They should assess the risk and return of the investment. Some of the things that they need to know is the liquidity and safety. When I say liquidity, I mean how easy is it for them to take out their money from that investment? Some of the investments are long-term. Some of the investments are very illiquid, meaning that you can only be able to get your money out of that investment if there are sellers out there or buyers out there. Because when you are looking at the capital market, it's the market of buyers and sellers all the time. So some of the products or asset classes are liquid, some of the asset classes are illiquid. Some of them are illiquid, some of them are liquid. Some of them are easy to sell, some of them are not so easily, are not so easy to sell. Also, I think it's important that the investor or the prospective investor should satisfy himself that the product is appropriate for his investment goals. We all have investment goals, you know, as individuals. And my goal, Setu, my investment goal is not necessarily the same as your investment goal. So I mustn't buy because I heard you say you bought it. No. If you bought a product, it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be suitable for me.
All right.
We all have different investment goals.
Okay. All right, no problem. We are talking to Mayor Juliana White, who is the Director of Capital Markets at NBFIRA. We're talking about how they protect you as an investor, who you are as an investor. What is the mandate of NBFIRA? On the other side of the 8:30, of the 7:30 updates, we will be talking about investment promoters and investment products so that you can be more educated and know what you must look out for when you go out and try to grow that money. You know, we've enlightened the listener about the importance of having clear investment objectives, but we always hear that investments also present opportunities as well as risk. What really does risk mean, and why is it important for the risk, for the investor to know their risk appetite?
I think when you look at the investment goals, you will notice that it maps out. It would have been formulated after mapping out the risk appetite of the investor. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when an investor has 500,000 pula, and they want to invest into some products in the market, they need to establish what products would be suitable for them. In order to arrive at that decision, they need to be risk profiled. You know, they need to be risk profiled to see if a certain product will be suitable for them. For example, different investment products carry different risk return profiles. And the investment intermediary or the investment manager or the investment advisor that would be profiling this specific investor looks at different factors. For example, age. You will find that a young person who is about 30 and has just finished a PhD would probably not mind, you know, buying into the equity market, you know, buying stocks and shares. And maybe they would not even mind buying into volatile products, like the products that whose prices can go up very quickly and go down very quickly. Because you know what, their risk appetite is there. They're just starting. They have a long way to go to achieve their investment goal. Whereas a 70-year-old who is just retiring, for example, would probably not want to go into any speculative investments. They'll probably want to buy into some steady income-generating investments. Whereas the 30-year-old probably would be looking at buying into maybe a capital growth. You know, the product that, although it might not have a lot of returns, but in terms of growth, the asset class appreciates in value as time goes along.
All right, we'll be continuing.
A very long horizon to wait for the investment.
We'll be continuing with that, our conversation now, talking about investment promoters and who are those that are actually certified and licensed by NBFIRA to operate in this market. On the other side of the updates, Dollar Mac coming to you with traffic, Slow coming to you with sports. Good morning. Gabs FM, power to engage your world. We're having a conversation with Mayor Juliana White, who is the Director of Capital Markets at non-bank financial institutions regulatory authority, NBFIRA. They're undertaking public education in relations to investor protection. The focus is on strengthening retail investors' knowledge of their rights and responsibilities regarding the Collective Investment Undertaking Act of 2021. It was repealed and enacted, put up to the level where now as a listener you can be able, or as a retail investor really, you can be properly protected. We're getting into a conversation. Before we went for the break, we talked about the act itself and what its purpose is. We talked about who you are as a retail investor. We're getting into investment promoters. These are you know, these are people or these are institutions that are regulated or and licensed by NBFIRA. But let's talk about May White, as I welcome you back. Let's talk about what are the main types of investment promoters available in the capital market industry and what their roles are.
Thank you very much, Seto. Very, very key question. We have several promoters that are licensed at NBFIRA, or investment promoters that are licensed at NBFIRA within the capital markets industry. We have stockbrokers or broker dealers. These are the intermediaries that connect the investors to stocks and shares that are issued by listed companies. So they mainly trade on the stock exchange. We have asset managers. Asset managers typically take funds from investors, both retail and institutional investors and corporates. They invest the funds on behalf of the investors, and they also invest in the stock market. But should they want to buy stocks and shares, they go through the broker-dealer. We have investment advisors. Their main duty really is to risk profile the investor, the prospective investors, to determine their risk appetite, as you've already spoken before, so they can arrive at their investment objective. And they are also licensed by us, and they are able to explain the risks that are associated with each and every product that is available in the market. Well, and then we have management companies. Now, these management companies, very similar to asset management, except that they manage pooled investments, such as collective investments undertakings, unit trusts, investment funds, and so on and so forth. And these are the ones that form the basis of our discussion today, because we want to unpack the CIU Act to say the CIU Act really provides an, a product such as the unit trust to members of the public. There are quite a number of unit trusts out there that are being offered by the management companies. And they are normally considered to be safe investments. But having said that, we want to really empower the listeners to know that they have the right to ask questions when they go to any of these investment promoters about the promoters themselves, but also and the services that they offer, but also about the products that they offer. That really is the we want them to understand that they have the right to ask. They don't have the relevant information to make an investment decision.
Exactly. Now
they just go then be intimidated. They have the right to ask the right questions, and we want to assist them in that regard for the purpose of this morning.
All right, that's absolutely very passionate. I was actually going to ask about, you know, how accessible they are, the investment promoters to the retail investor. But there's also an issue of, you know, investment promoters putting out prospectuses or investment prospectuses so that the potential investor can be able to find the right information. Kindly elaborate on that.
Yes, a very critical question again, Seto. A prospectus is typically an offer document. An offer document means that it's a document that contains the information about an investment. It will contain the key information relating to the type of investment product that is being offered. First of all, it will have the information about the promoter, who the promoter is, the product that he is selling, the type and name of the product that they are selling, that they are licensed to operate. They also disclose in the prospectus that they are licensed by the regulatory authority, being ourselves, the NBFIRA. They would disclose, normally the price is not really disclosed in the prospectus per se, because in the capital markets products, remember that the price is determined by the market.
Mm.
So you can't say, okay, I'm offering you a CIU today, or I'll be offering you a CIU today, tomorrow, at 5 pula per unit.
Mm.
You can't do that.
Mm.
It depends on, tomorrow's price will be determined by the demand of that unit. If there are many people that are seeking to buy, the market, that are seeking to buy that unit, the price will go up.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are many people that want to dump that unit, the price will definitely flop, will go down.
All right. Now, let's talk about investment products quickly, because we've ran clean out of time. That is our last questions for the day. What are the approved investment products that retail investors can consider investing in within the capital market industry? Just list them quickly for me.
We have stocks, shares and bonds. The corporate bonds that are offered by banks or parastatals, government bonds, exchange-traded funds, unit trusts, like I've already said, investment funds. I just wanted to say pooled investments like unit trusts are considered safe investments as they spread the risk of investors as well as the cost.
Mm.
So when and also, they are operated by competent financial professionals.
Yes.
Who research the market.
Yes.
So the person that invests on a CIU has the benefit of that professional knowledge and information without necessarily having to pay for it individually.
Yes.
So the cost will be spread among the a number of people that have invested in that unit trust. So it's normally recommended for retail investors, because they don't have access to financial conduct research on the market, the movement of stocks and prices of the stocks and shares, you know, where the economics of scale are going, whether we have a bear market or we have a bull market. They don't have those technical know-hows to assess the market. So the professional manager or the management company hires professionals that conduct research on behalf of these funds. So
as you say, these pooled funds, unit trusts are an example of these pooled funds. They are very varied. You've licensed in Botswana, you know, multiple, over five investment promoters who offer unit trusts. Now, what should the retailer know, the benefits and the risks associated with these? Quickly, and this is our last question as we close.
So when what we encourage the investors to do, or the prospective investors to do, when they approach the management companies or the promoters, they should find out about the fees and charges upfront. You know, they must ask questions about that. They must find out how often the charges would be levied. That should be disclosed upfront. How often they're going to receive their statement, how risky the products would be, whether the product is open-ended or closed-ended. Closed-ended CIUs may be listed on the stock exchange and does not have a fixed maturity date. And they are highly, highly liquid, because if they are on the exchange, you know, the buyers and sellers are available out there, presumably. But if it's an open-ended fund, they do not have a fixed maturity, and liquidity of the units depends on the availability of sellers and buyers. So, for example, if you've invested in an open-ended fund, you are not guaranteed that if you want to pull out your money, you will get it there and then. Okay. Reason being that you might not get a seller who wants to buy your unit. So it depends on whether the seller would be secured, who is interested at buying that unit at that price.
So all right, thank
they
you.
Must understand this is a technicality that they must ask the management company or the promoter to explain on.
All
because
right.
It's been made very clear under the new act, And the management companies really should be able to explain this to the investors.
All right. Thank you so much, Mayor Juliana White, for that conversation. We'll be talking with NBFIRA as they continue to educate you as a listener on what is best to do and how they regulate the market, how they keep you safe, and what you must look out for. Have a beautiful day, ma'am. It's amazing talking to you this morning.
Have a beautiful day. I just wanted to share our contact details.
Quickly. I've given you 5 extra minutes, actually.
So that we can be contacted at 368-6100. 368-6100. That is our reception. Or email at info@nbfira.org.bw. Or on any social media platforms. Thank you so much, Setu. We really appreciate, and thank you to the listeners of Gaps FM.
All right. Have a wonderful day, Ms. Juliana White. And we will, of course, touch base with yourself. Have a beautiful day.